Right, Anthony.
Good morning. I'm Anthony. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, in the 80s and the 90s, with my parents and my brother, who's 8 years older than me. And my father, he was a substance abuser, and whenever he would drink alcohol, he became angry, and he wasn't the kindest person. So one night, I remember my parents were arguing, and I was a little girl, I was under 10, and I was in my room, and I heard them arguing and getting loud, and I visualized myself running away from home, and I prayed, and I asked God, I said, Lord, take me away from this home, just take me away. And I remember specifically hearing the Lord say, no, it is not your time yet. You have something worth living for. And ever since I heard him say that, I knew that the Lord's hand of protection was over my life. Amen. I know that he was ordering my steps. He was orchestrating the path for me to follow. And he would put people in my life, specifically during pivotal times, to help strengthen my faith and to grow me closer. To draw me closer to him. And one person in particular was my best friend. Her name is Chandra. We were best friends since primary school. And she invited me to her church, St. John Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham. And I went to church with her. And I was the kid that went to church every Sunday by myself. I remember the church man coming to my house and picking me up. And I was committed, faithful, and I loved going to church. And I was involved in the youth choir, the youth group. And it was just where I felt loved and I felt the joy. And so one Sunday, I remember the pastor, you know, inviting everybody up who wanted to give their life over to Christ. And I got up. I was nervous, but I did it. I walked up there and I gave my life over to Christ and I got baptized. And I think I was around the age of 11 or 12. And I was determined to be a good kid because I didn't want to hurt my mom. I didn't want to cause her any more pain than what she had already experienced. So I would try to be this perfect child, and I was committed to going to church. And so I attended St. John Missionary Baptist Church throughout my high school years, and it was at St. John where I experienced being slain in the spirit. I don't know if you all have ever heard of that, but it was the first time where I literally felt the power of the Holy Spirit in my body just take control of my body. I felt my arms just flail out like Jesus on the cross, and I bowed down, and I was just crying uncontrollably, and I just felt the presence of the Lord. I felt the Spirit in me, and I knew that God was real, and I became unresponsive, and the people in the church thought something was wrong, so they called an ambulance, and they actually took me to the hospital where my mother was working, and when she saw me, she started crying. And I couldn't respond. Like, I could hear everything around me, but I couldn't respond. I couldn't move. And she was crying. I remember her calling my name out, and the doctor did all kind of tests. And at the end, he said, you know, this is a healthy child. She just had an experience with God. And I knew God was real. I knew that the Holy Spirit was alive and well and in me. And so when I was in high school, my parents divorced. And after they divorced, I developed this void inside of me. And I felt this emptiness. So I graduated from high school. I moved to Atlanta, went to undergraduate school there, and the void became larger. It was empty. I felt so lonely, and I felt depressed, and I didn't have a church in Atlanta where I could fellowship. And so I tried to fill that void with dating. I even tried to pledge a sorority because I thought people would feel me, and that is what I, you know, tried to do. And so how many of you know that did not feel me? That still did not feel me. And so the Lord placed another person in my life to help me. My mom started going to a church in Birmingham. And so every time I would go home from college, I would go to church with my mom. And the pastor's wife at that church actually was planning a women's conference, and she invited an evangelist from Atlanta to come to Birmingham to speak. And she recommended that I go to that church in Atlanta, meet the evangelist, because she wanted me to introduce the evangelist in Birmingham. So the next time I went to Atlanta for school, I made sure that Sunday I went to church. To that particular church, it was called Capital View United Methodist Church. And I met the evangelist. And because of that recommendation, I started going to that church in Atlanta. And I got connected with the youth ministry. And I started to grow and develop my faith because of the people in that church and because of that next connection in my life. And so I learned about fasting, I learned about praying, and I learned about tithing, and it's just like I just saw my faith just continue to grow, and the Lord was drawing me closer to him because of these connections with the people that he was placing in my life. And so I began to hear God's voice more clearly, and I made a commitment that I wanted to obey God and follow his commands, and I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And I came to the realization that man cannot fulfill me, you know, that fulfillment had to come from God. And so when he got me connected with this church in Atlanta, it was then that I knew he was connecting me with people to draw me closer to him. And he led me in 2007 to New Orleans as a missionary, and also where I met my husband. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am a child of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And my desire is to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. And that is what I desire to do. It's just to love God and do what he tells me to do. And that's who I am. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Antonika. As Allie gets ready to go down, I'm going to ask Aaron to pray for our kids as they go downstairs. Then we're going to jump into the Word of God. Amen.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for Allie and her heart for children. I pray that the children are able to learn about you downstairs and just have a more love for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Again, it's good to be in the house of God on today. Those of you on Zoom, thank you for joining us. Those of you that are here, thank you for joining us as we jump into the Word of God on today. Which chapter are we in our book? Do you guys know? Chapter number four. It's always an honor to be able to stand up here and open up God's Word and to present what God has prepared. I'm going to go old school, see if you guys remember this. We kind of mentioned this in church before. When I was growing up, the pastor would always tell the church, if there's prayer from the pews, there'll be power from the pulpit, or preaching from the pulpit. It's like, oh, that's alliteration, Pastor Taylor, that's corny. But what he was saying was he was asking the church to pray while the sermon was going on. Amen? Amen, that as your pastors are up here ministering and as Miss Evelyn comes up to minister, if there's prayer coming from you guys and praying that God will open up his word, listen, not only today, but this sermon is going to be going online, and as people are going to listen to it later in the year and later in the future, we're praying for people's eyes to be open and that people will realize their need for Jesus. And so I solicit your prayers on today. Listen, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know, we're going through our series talking about rediscover. And the first week we went through the topic talking about conversion as Pastor Alf ministered, talking about that. And then Pastor Dwayne came back and talked about salvation and what must we do to be saved. And then last week, if you didn't get a chance to hear the sermon, it is online. Miss Evelyn came and did a great job talking about our what in Christ. She talked about our position in Christ, who we are in Christ, what we are, and everything in Christ is in us. So everything that pertains to Christ, if he's on the inside of us, it pertains to us as well. And so Ms. Ellen did a great job with that on last week. And then on today, I'm going to be talking about baptism. And as you look at the screen, you see, you know, a couple of question marks after baptism, and then a declaration after that, because some people don't really think that baptism matters. They give different examples from the Bible. They say different things and pertains to people who possibly weren't baptized in the Bible or even in life. And they say that it doesn't really matter, but I'm going to argue today that yes, it really matters. And in saying that it matters, I want you to understand where we're trying to come from today, because anytime the world or anyone outside of the church wants everyone else to know what they believe, they show it. That if the world believes in something, or if the world has a doctrine that they're trying to promote, or anybody even outside of the church, and I'm not saying good or bad, there are a couple of slides that I'm going to put up that you may agree with or disagree with. That's for another day. We can argue about that. But they always show and always make a public display of those things that they believe. And I truly believe this. As people of God, as the children of God, the world needs to know what we believe. And not only know what we believe, they need to see what we believe. And they can see that through baptism. We're going to talk about that a little bit on today. Listen, as we jump into our sermon, look at this first slide. I was preparing the sermon, and again, whether you agree with gender identity and changing gender or whatever, but social media and the world puts their news out front so that everybody can see it, so that nobody has a doubt as to what they believe. That whenever there comes an issue that they really believe in, and Dwayne Wade and his daughter, or his son, who's now a daughter, they believe that she feels that she's a girl, and so she did gender identity, and this is kind of front page news on the sports scene and even outside of the sports world, in regular world, and they're making a public display of what they believe so that people can see it. They can see what they believe. Again, this is for another sermon another day. I'm not going to get into the details of this. You go to this next slide and you look at this, and if you can't read this tape on front of his mask, on front of his mouth, it says Black Lives Matter, and there are different interpretations of Black Lives Matter. There are people who are part of the organization that did some bad things. There were some people think it's good, some people think it's bad. But this display, as you see in the back, where people of all denominations and all genders and all races that came together, and they're laying down as a symbol to show how they're protesting the death of Black lives, and you can see what they're trying to do. That this is something, as you look at it, you see Black people laying there, you see white people laying there. In the back, there are Asian and there are Hispanic people, and they're protesting the senseless killing of Black lives. And we know that it's not isolated to just Black or other races and their hatred towards Black people, because this incident that happened in Memphis where African-American officers who killed a Black man. And so this picture is saying that they believe in Black Lives Matter, and they're going to show it. You're going to see it. You don't have a question about whether they think that this is something that's worth fighting for. And so in our lives as followers and as Christians, we need to be unified on the things that we show to the world. And unfortunately, there are too many times where the church is seen as a state, or being in a state of division and animosity amongst one another. Next slide. This came out a couple of days ago. And so the Southern Baptist, the convention that our church is a part of, has kicked out a very prominent church because they had a woman as a pastor, and they describe women pastors in different ways. Some people would say that Miss Evelyn was a pastor in our church because she comes up and she gives sermons on Sunday. But instead of this being something that will unify the church, this has served as more division. And again, the world sees this. And we want to be unified on what we believe. We want to be unified on the things that the Bible says. And so when it comes to this subject about baptism and does it really matter, I really want to emphasize this again today. Go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. Is that, yes, it really matters. And in spite of the different opinions and the different methods that are out here, here's a good way for us to figure out what it really is all about. What does God's word say? That if we're really trying to see what baptism is all about, and does it matter as much as Pastor Alf's message on conversion and Pastor Dwayne's message on salvation and Miss Evelyn's message on positioning in Christ? And I'm here to tell you today that baptism really matters, and that's what we're going to talk about on today. So as we jump into the Word of God on today, why don't you pray with me? We read some scripture, and then we're going to interact with one another. Father in heaven, we do thank you for another Sunday. God, thank you for your presence in our lives. And God, as we talk about this subject, open up our eyes, open up our hearts, open up our understanding to what baptism is all about, what you meant it to be, and God, how we can use that to minister to other people in our lives, people that we come across on a day-to-day basis. God, again, we thank you for another Sunday, and God, just for the opportunity to gather together. We don't take this for granted, that we can meet in this place and fellowship and laugh and cry and encourage one another. and just get closer to you. God, we praise you on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. Listen, this scripture is going to be the basis for our message on today in Matthew 28. If you have a pew Bible, it's going to be on page 857. As you turn to this scripture, you can look up here on the screen as we read this one scripture. We've entitled this sermon series, Rediscover, but we do realize that there may be people here today or people that will hear this sermon later that rediscovery is not appropriate. They're actually discovering what this is all about. And so the books that we ordered and the books that we're going through to prepare for our sermons and for table group talks about discovering the Christian life. Our prayer is that those of us that know what these topics are and know what they mean in our lives, that we'll rediscover and find even more of a passion for it. But those that don't know what it means to be converted or saved or even baptized, today may be the day where you say, I want to be baptized and I need to be baptized, and we can facilitate that. And so on today, that's what we want to get across in our message. Listen, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, it says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. Amen. This scripture starts out and there's one main person talking in this particular scripture. Who's giving this commandment in this scripture? Jesus giving his commandment to, who was he giving it to? To his disciples. So Jesus is giving this command to his disciples, to the followers then, and I'll argue with you and say this, he's giving it to us today as well. And so this command to go and make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit was not something that was just supposed to be taking place in Jesus's time or right after Jesus went back to heaven, but he's talking to us today as the church. Listen, not to just meet here on Sundays or go to our table groups throughout the week, but Jesus said this, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so this word that we're going to talk about today, baptizing, to baptize. Go to the next slide. And the first question you want to ask yourself is this: what is baptism? Here we go. I'm not giving you the answer. We're gonna get some answers from the audience, those that are on Zoom. If you have an answer, and try to make it short so I don't have to write too much. You can make it long if you want to. But let's go, guys. We have four questions we're going to answer today. Four questions we're going to ask and answer on today. And the first one is this: what is baptism? And for those that are on Zoom, I'm going to repeat what our congregation says here so that you can hear it on Zoom. Go ahead, Jelly. She saw my slides, so that she didn't. Jelly says, a proclamation of faith through an action, baptism. I said it right? Yep, thank you. I didn't want to write it. I was hoping nobody would say anything. Pastor Dwayne called me out. The proclamation of faith through action. Somebody else. I like it. Alessio's giving us fire, giving us stuff to talk about. What you say, Alessio, being born? I'm going to say both of what you say, born again and born anew. Say that again, Caitlin. Go ahead, Esther. Symbolizing new life. Yeah. Say that again, Esther. Immersion in water. So Esther's jumping ahead of my sermon already, but actually the original definition of it outside of Christian context and everything is to immerse in water. So when you baptize, you baptizo, you dipped something, like whenever they dipped cloth or clothing, you would baptize it into water and pull it up. So yes, immersion in water is the technical definition of it. Anyone else? Baptism? Yes, I'm sorry, man. So Brian said it was the death, representation of the death and resurrection of Christ, right? Miss Francis is editing, adding to it. Death, where would burial go? Right here? Death, burial, and resurrection? I'm being petty, I know where it goes. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the way that I learned it was in the Black church growing up, they would actually put our arms across our, as you're in a casket, death, and they put you back into the water as the burial, and then rise up in terms of the resurrection. Buried with Christ in death, raised to newness of life. So, good. What? Anyone else? Baptism? Go ahead, Dwayne. Go to hit the next. Oh, it came up already. It is in terms of a Christian ritual. Now, again, Esther gave us the technical definition, which was to immerse in water. But from a Christian perspective, we're talking about it's a Christian ritual that symbolizes a person's faith in Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. I think we pretty much covered all of that going with that. And so I thank Brother Alessio for giving us his answer, because he said born again and born anew. But check this out, and this is where we get into the weeds with some things. Does baptism actually save you and make you born again? I need y'all to be confident in what you're saying. Nobody wants to really say it. They're like, oh, Pastor Taylor, I don't want to really say it. Is that this, whenever we think about this I love, though, born anew, because we're born anew again when we're death, burial, resurrected. We're born anew, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later on. But the error that some people have in saying born again is they'll tell you this, Pastor Taylor, I'm saved. I was baptized whenever I was younger. And you start asking them about conversion, or you start asking them about salvation. So again, if you didn't hear Pastor Alf's sermon or Pastor Dwayne's sermon, conversion and salvation, they'd be like, oh, I don't know anything about that. All I know is that I was baptized, and so I'm saved. And in actuality, that's not the case, because people are baptized after they are saved. So they go through the baptism after the conversion and the salvation experience. So in the Bible, whenever you see baptism, whenever you see it used, there are people that say, what must we do to be saved? And the apostle said, repent and be baptized. Or, you know, whenever the eunuch's in the chariot and you read it in the book, and he's reading the scripture, he's already saved, but he's saying, I haven't been baptized. Here's this water. And Philip goes down and baptizes him. And so baptism doesn't make us born again, but listen, it's a sign that we're born again, that it's a symbol that we're born again. It's a ritual that we go through as Christians to symbolize the fact that we are born again and we're born anew. That's what baptism is. And listen, we can't be afraid to tell people that whenever they say, like, I was baptized and so I'm saved, We need to pray and ask God for wisdom. So how do I address this without getting too much into the weeds and let them know you need to have a conversion, salvation experience, and then baptism takes place. So what is baptism? A Christian ritual. It's a Christian ritual that symbolizes a person's faith in Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. Go to the next one. So why do it? This one will be shorter. What? Why? Ms. Francis, say it. It's commanded. So you go back to that scripture that we read in Matthew 28, and it didn't say, Jesus said, if you feel like it, go out. And he said, no, go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's a direct commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples at that time. Any other reason why we should do it? Ms. Francis in my slides as well. Go ahead and hit the next button, Pastor Dwayne, because we kind of addressed it already. Y'all thought I was playing. So it is a commandment. We're being obedient, and it's symbolic, which we talked about already. Listen, in the Old Testament, there's a scripture that talks about the fact that Samuel came to Saul and told him to kill all of the livestock, kill all of the people that were there, make sure you wipe everybody out because God was trying to purify that part of the land for his people. And Saul, the king at the time, said, I'm going to keep some of these sheep and some of these goats and some of the best livestock right here, and I'm going to sacrifice them to the Lord, my God. And Samuel comes and he tells him this. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so this, why are we talking about baptism today? Because some of you are or may be here or on Zoom and you're saying, you know, I go to church all the time, Pastor Taylor. I give to church. I do good things in the community. I sacrifice for God. I do good things for God. But in the back of your mind, God's been putting on your mind or putting on your heart that you need to be baptized. Listen, you need to obey the Lord. That when God tells us to do something, this obedience that we have towards God shows our trust and our faith in him. And so if God's telling you today, listen, I know that you're doing all of these things, but you haven't actually been baptized, I need you to obey. Here we go. You guys help me out with this. So what about people in the Bible who didn't get a chance to get baptized? Somebody give me the classic example in the Bible of the person who went to heaven but did not get a chance to be baptized. The thief on the cross. And so the thief on the cross, Jesus is on the cross and two thieves on both of his side, and both of them were reviling him and making fun of him at the beginning. But then one thief realized that he was the savior of the world. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I'm going to think about it. Those of you that read your Bible say that Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And so this thief did not have a chance to get off of the cross and get baptized. There was no water around there. But how many of y'all think that that thief was in paradise with Jesus that same day when Jesus said it? Is it just me? Or because Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And so you can't let things like that or let people throw examples like that your way and try to sway you from what the truth is. If we have the opportunity and we're not hanging on the cross to be baptized and God tells us to do it after we've accepted him as our savior, listen, this is what we need to be. We need to be obedient and to do what God's calling us to do. And so why baptism? Yes, it's a commandment. We're being obedient whenever we do it, and it's symbolic to the world of this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So what is baptism? We said, why should people get baptized? As we go to our third point, and as you go through your lesson, you're going to find different aspects of this, and you get a chance to talk about it in table group as well. This third thing that we want to talk about today is who should be baptized. Here we go. I'm going to just throw this out here. Unbelievers, people who have no faith and no trust in Jesus Christ, should they be baptized? What do you all think? Jelly? you said believers should, and I said should unbelievers, and Jonathan said no. Anybody else? Unbelievers? People that have no love for God, don't want to have anything to do with God, and you know, you'll hear people say things like, well, anybody can be baptized and should get baptized, but who should be baptized? And is this all believers in Jesus Christ? That's the word. JT, you had something? No. All believers in Jesus Christ should be the ones who are getting baptized. And so, here we go. Go ahead, Miss Francis. And uh-oh. Well, yeah. I know it's about to happen, y'all. Miss Francis, go. Amen.
So, you know, and I think that our failure to say that to people, with helping them to identify with Christ, recognizing he, in fact, is the Savior, you know, whatever. And this especially happens when we're younger kids.
Yep. I told y'all she was in my sermon. She's jumping ahead already. Identity in Christ is with this thief on the cross. That's where he found himself. But I say this, who should be baptized? And when it comes down to baptism, I do see, and we do see, that there are times where there are babies and infants that are baptized. So I need to open up this discussion so we can argue this morning back and forth about this subject. Should babies be baptized? Is it okay to baptize babies? And if we are baptizing babies, then what are we saying? Baptism is a choice. But what if we want to baptize our baby? So Aaron said baptism is a choice, yes. But what if we do want to baptize? Pastor Dwayne's in the back blowing and looking down because he know I'm getting in difficult subjects. But what if we want to baptize our babies? Can we say that relates to like christenings, baby dedications? And so when you hear people argue against, and again, I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other, but when you hear people argue against infant baptism or dedications or christening or anything, what they're trying to say is what Aaron said, is that baptism is a choice, so you got to let them make it. But what Pastor Dwayne brought out, which is very important, is that as people of faith, we're bringing our kids to the Lord. In terms of dedication, in terms of baptism, in terms of christening, and saying, God, they're for you. And my faith in who you are and them coming up in this household of faith, I believe that they're going to make, Aaron, the choice whenever it's time to get baptized and get saved. And when they get saved, whenever they make that decision, they're going to get baptized. And listen, that's going to be their conversion salvation experience, not the parents baptizing their babies. And you'll see it in your book, and we could talk about it today, is that the error that people have is, you know, if Pastor Dwayne and Anthony could baptize Miles and then the rest of his life, nothing else happened, and people say, like, he was okay because they baptized him whenever he was a youth. That's where the error comes in. That's where we have to say, like, okay, there has to be, listen, a point where Miles comes to the point where he says, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Savior of the world. Then get baptized and everything's good. And listen, We can't be, again, we can't be intimidated to talk about these things, because it's nothing wrong with dedicating or bringing our kids to the Lord or going through infant baptism if we understand that one day they have to make the choice. They have to do it themselves. Ms. Francis.
And I cringe every time I see this in the newspaper, that people got baptized at an early age. Baptism at an early age does not equate to salvation. And I think that that's part of the problem. Like, I've been going to church all my life, and I've been doing this all of my life. But have you ever come to a point where you was like that thief on the cross, recognize who Jesus is and what he has done for you, that makes a difference? And to me, that's one of the problems.
And I'm going to piggyback off of Anthony, because repeat what Ms. Francis said. All of what Ms. Francis said.
Oh, I said too much.
Yeah. Infant, no, it's nothing. Infant baptism does not save our kids. Amen? Those of you on Zoom, they have to make the choice. Dedications and christening as well, that does not save our kids. They have to come to the point where they understand who Christ is. I'm gonna piggyback off of Anthonika's testimony, is that at a young age, I did get to, like, it came a point where I realized, like, oh, Jesus is real. I mean, I'm like 7 or 8 years old, but you know, growing from 7, 8 to the time when I was 20, and I had not slain in the spirit, but a experience with God to where I was like, oh yeah, God is real. You get baptized and all of that. But that was a choice that I made, not that my parents made, not that my mom and dad made. Praise God that they raised me in a Christian home. But that's a choice that we all have to make. So listen, let me ask you guys, should we be praying for and dedicating and giving our kids to the Lord? Yes, by faith, we believe that bringing our kids to the Lord, that God's gonna have his hand on them, and consequently, they're gonna give their lives to the Lord. So don't let people, again, don't let people sway you whenever it comes to who should be baptized and who should be dedicated and christened and all of that. By faith, we believe that our kids are gonna be safe. Last one, and then we're gonna get out of here. How to baptize. What are the two main ways that people baptize? Water, yep, in water. How, both of them are water, but how, the two methods? Immersion and sprinkling, yep, dipping, immersion, and sprinkling. Now, I grew up and somebody told me this, if you sprinkle anybody, they're not saved. It's weird, like y'all, nobody else heard that before? Like, yeah, like you don't sprinkle people. You got to immerse them. You have to dip them. You have to take them under with a whole bunch of water, practically drown them, and then bring them up so they feel like they're about to meet Jesus, and then bring them back to new. Their hair didn't go under. You got to dip them under. I will argue with you and say this, that there were people in, whenever I was in medicine and even in hospice, even when I was at the last church where I was, to where there were people who were medically disabled to where you cannot dip them underwater. You cannot immerse them underwater. I'm sure Jonathan saw it in his medical career. There are people in wheelchairs and they're handicapped, and if you dip them underwater, they will see Jesus. And so, typically, the way that you want to do it is by, Esther said it, by immersion in the water, if we can. But if we can't, and that's not an option, there has to be a reconciling. There has to be a something in our head to where we say, God's going to honor what I'm doing right now, even if it's sprinkling. Even if it's sprinkling this adult, this kid, this person who professed faith in Jesus Christ, but there is no way I can actually take them all the way under the water and have this be a good result, I believe that God will honor that. And there, if it's coming from obedience, absolutely.
And I know I've had many chaplains who have worked with the military who are overseas and there's no water. And they're just like, this person gave themselves over to the Lord. We're going to baptize. We're going to have an outward expression. We're going to have this symbolic understanding. We don't have enough water to immerse them, but we are going to sprinkle and we're going to make it a display. And so there are these different opportunities or different times where sprinkling is seen as the best.
And so we have all of these topics that we talked about today, but the main point I want to drive home as we talk about baptism is this: whenever we go through this Christian ritual of baptism, listen, we're dead to sin, alive to Christ. People say, Pastor Taylor, I have an issue with you saying I'm dead to sin because I still have these struggles, or I still have these starts. I still have these proclivities that rise up on the inside of me. I still have these mistakes that I make, and I just feel like I'm not where I'm supposed to be with the Lord. I'm telling you this: if you are saved and you get and you've given Jesus Christ your life, baptism shows that you are dead to sin. And we sang it last week before Miss Evelyn came up and ministered, how we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to fear. We're dead to sin. And listen, even though I mess up, or even though I don't meet the mark all the time, even though I'm not perfect in the way that I live my life, because of my positioning in Christ and because of what Christ has done for me, not only am I forgiven, but listen, I can still glorify him in the way that I live my life. And so what baptism, this is the main point we need to drive home when people want to argue about baptism and whether it matters or not, or what is it a sign of. Listen, it's a sign that I am no longer controlled by sin, by the world, by the devil. I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive to glorify him. I'm alive to make his name famous. I'm alive to show the world who he is and prayerfully get more people saved and baptized. Because those pictures and those articles I showed you before, the world is out there and the world is talking about what they believe, and the world is putting their doctrines out there. And as followers of Christ, with the best news in the world, which is how to obtain eternal life, we need to be telling the world about it. And the world sees what we believe by the way that we live our lives, by the baptisms that we do, by the way we conduct ourselves. Listen, by not shying down whenever the arguments come, I'm a firm believer that fighting fire with fire does not produce any good results. But whenever people come to us with arguments and with doctrines and with different things pertaining to our Christian faith, we need to pray and ask God to give us wisdom, give us insight, give us the words to speak. So listen, the Jesus that we love and the Jesus that's on the inside of us will get inside of them as well. That should be our prayer, not to argue whether there should be women pastors, or argue whether certain people are going to heaven or hell or whatever. We need people to fall in love. I love this statement, how I heard this guy on the podcast say, we want people to fall in love with Jesus so much to where all those other things pale in comparison. So people are always, Miss Francis, people are always talking about the homosexual agenda and all of these other things on the or adultery or promiscuity and all that other stuff. And what we need to be saying is, let's get them in love with Jesus, and then all of that other stuff is going to go away. Prayerfully, by faith, we believe that all that other stuff will go away. Whenever we truly fall in love with who Jesus is, then we can become better parents and better spouses and better brothers and sisters and better co-workers and better people in our community. To make things better, we got to get people falling in love with Jesus. We got to get them to see who Jesus is. Last thing, we're going home. You guys may have heard this earlier in the month. This university in Kentucky, revival started. Again, revival, is it biblical, all that other stuff? All I know is this: for about 16 days, there were people praying and worshiping the Lord. So people are like, was it real? Was it just a show? We don't know if it was real or if it was just manufactured. I say this: there are thousands of people not going home, praying, worshiping God, actually fellowshipping together, actually staying for the word of God. I think that's real. And this is my prayer, is that whatever you want to call this that happened in Kentucky, or whatever's happened in the past, where there were people that were passionate about God's word, that were passionate about meeting together, that were passionate about telling people about the Lord. Listen, they were hungry to get closer to God. That's what I want to happen in my life. That I don't want my passion for working out to trump what the Lord's done in my life. I don't want my enjoyment of watching TV to outdo what the Lord has done in my life. I don't want anything else in my life to outdo what God has done. Listen, you have to understand this. If you're putting anything before God, that's your God. And what we should be desiring is, God, draw me closer to yourself so that my family will understand that there's been a change in me, and then I can love my children better and love my spouse better and love my enemies better, because I'm drawing closer to God. And that only comes whenever revival comes. It only comes as we become more passionate about God. And I'm more passionate about God than I am about the New Orleans Saints, even though Jelly made me take my hat off when church started. I forgot it was on, really. So thank you. Super Bowl and sports and all of that other stuff should not outweigh what God has done in our life. We sang it last week. All my life, he's been faithful. All my life, he's been so, so good. With every breath I'm breathing, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. And that goodness of God, that's what we should be striving for. Why, as your pastors and as your church leaders, are we going through these pretty much basic doctrines about conversion and salvation and positioning in Christ and baptism? Is because we want all of us, your leaders as well, to grow more passionate about God's word and grow deeper in God's word so that we can share it with other people. So this is the last sermon on this first slide here, what is the gospel? And then next week, we're gonna talk about how do we grow in it? How do we do better in it? Pastor Alf's gonna come and start that second part of our series on next week, as we get to celebrate communion together. And just grow more in God's word. God is good. Amen? Amen. God's grace is amazing. And we just thank him even for allowing us to understand what all of this stuff means. And again, if you're here today and baptism is something that you're looking forward to, or you need to do, or something on here you don't understand, somebody on our Zoom, if there's something you want to talk about, please contact your pastors, let us know, and we'll get in touch with you and prayerfully lead you in the right direction. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, God, for who you are, and God, for just constantly being faithful in our lives. God, as we've talked about baptism today, we thank you for dying and being buried and rising for us. And God, we can do the same thing. And we praise you for that on today. God, the topics that were presented today, God, keep them clear in our minds. We thank you for your grace in allowing us to go through this sermon. God, pray that you will use it for your glory in the future. God, we just thank you for who you are, and God, for your presence in our lives. God, I pray for each one of us today, God, those in our congregation and on Zoom that may be struggling in any area. God, help us to embrace what we sang earlier. God, fear is not our future. God, you truly are. God, whatever's stopping us from focusing on you, that's not our future. God, because we're your children, you are. And we praise you for that on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen and amen.